your desires, hold us close to you. Holy Spirit, fill us with your fire, give us your desires, hold us close to you.
More of you.
Yeah.
He doesn't know how to be anything but good. Forever. You leave here today not believing and understanding that God is good.
Yes.
You're missing the whole point.
All right.
He's good to his people.
Yes.
He's even good to the unbeliever to give him grace and mercy and love.
All right. All right.
Extension of his grace. Psalm 33 says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with the harp, sing unto him with the psaltery and the instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. The word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment, and the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord."
Amen.
Something about goodness today.
Yes.
There's something about the goodness of God. Once you've ever experienced God's goodness, you'll never, ever be the same. You can't get away from it. You can run from it. But God's goodness will reach into places, into your life, into lives of others. And I believe right now, God's goodness and extension is being extended to this nation. I think we're in a new time. Maybe it's the latter outpouring in the latter days. I really don't know. But I believe, and I sense revival in the air. I sense revival coming. I sense a refreshing and a renewing and a desire in people, hopefully, to seek God, to find the goodness of God. I missed two church services. I feel like there's a big void in my last couple of weeks. I can't get it back. It makes you hungry. Mm-hmm. It makes you miss church.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It makes you realize what the world is missing and lacking. You give someone something and take it away. There's an emptiness that God can restore. Let him restore you today. He won't leave you where you are today.
Amen.
He knows what he's doing. Trust him and believe him and worship him today.
Right. We're going to ask the ushers to come.
Don't mind me, I'm just a little out of practice. Today is also Bread Sunday. As soon as we take up our offering, Brother Mike, would you hand out bread to those that have been in a bread program? Christy said she made 18 muffins. I hope all 18 of them are gone today.
Strongholds break when I break through. So I'm gonna praise you. You are the
God of the breakthrough. You are the undefeated one, my life and my salvation. When the wicked, my enemies and my foes came upon me to feed in my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Omnipotent, almighty defender, my victory, my refuge, the one I run to. You are the God, you are the God of the breakthrough. Breakthrough, you are the God of the breakthrough. When I can't see my way through, I really don't know what to do, I look to you. Breakthrough, the walls fall down when I shout through, strongholds break when I break through. So I'm gonna praise you. You are the God, you are the God of the breakthrough. You are the God of the breakthrough. When I can't see my way through, I really don't know what to do, I look to you. Breakthrough, the walls fall down when I shout through, strongholds break when I break through. So I'm gonna praise you. You are the God, you are the God of the breakthrough.
Breakthrough in my heart, breakthrough in my mind, breakthrough in my spirit, breakthrough in my soul, breakthrough in my weakness, breakthrough in my struggle. You are the God, you are the God of the breakthrough in my worship, breakthrough in my praise, breakthrough when I lift and glorify your name, breakthrough when I dance, breakthrough when I shout. You are the God, you are the God of the
breakthrough in my heart, breakthrough in my mind, breakthrough in my spirit, breakthrough in my soul, breakthrough in my weakness, breakthrough in my trouble. You are the God, you are the God of the breakthrough in my worship, breakthrough in my praise, breakthrough when I lift and glorify your name, breakthrough when I dance, breakthrough when I shout. You are the God, you are the God of the the God of the breakthrough. When I can't see my way through, and I really don't know what to do, I look to you. Breakthrough, the walls fall down when I shout through, strongholds break when I break through. So I'm gonna praise you. You are the God, you are the God of
breakthrough in my heart, breakthrough in my mind, breakthrough in my spirit, breakthrough in my soul, breakthrough in my weakness, breakthrough in my struggle. You are the God, you are the God of the breakthrough in my worship, breakthrough in my praise, breakthrough when I lift and glorify your name, breakthrough when I dance, breakthrough when I shout. You are the God, you are the God of the
breakthrough in my heart, breakthrough in my mind, breakthrough in my spirit, breakthrough in my soul, breakthrough in my weakness, breakthrough in my struggle. You are the God, you are the God of the breakthrough in my worship, breakthrough in my praise, breakthrough when I lift and glorify your name, breakthrough when I dance, breakthrough when I shout. You are the God, you are the God of the breakthrough in my heart, breakthrough in my mind, breakthrough in my spirit, breakthrough in my soul, breakthrough in my weakness, breakthrough in my struggle. You are the God, you are the God of the breakthrough in my worship, breakthrough in my praise, breakthrough when I lift to glorify your name, breakthrough when I dance, breakthrough when I shout. You are the God, you are the God of the breakthrough, 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 breakthrough. Breakthrough, breakthrough, you are the God of the breakthrough, breakthrough.
you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. How we worship you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. 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 I learned a long time ago, the greatest obstacle in my service for the Lord, greatest obstacle in my worship and my praise, my dedication and my commitment, it's not my circumstances. It's not the situation that surrounds my life. My greatest obstacle is two letters. Me. Me. I am my greatest obstacle. Because I've learned that when I get me out of the way, when I set my pride aside, my preconceptions, my ideas, when I set me aside, when I say, Lord, this is about you, yeah. See, that's when the breakthrough begins to happen. That's when the Lord looks down and says, yeah, now you got it. Why, the Bible says a new and living way, that is through the flesh. In other words, through the power of Jesus, I'm able to break through me. I'm able to get past my worries. I'm able to get through my pride. I'm able to come in humility and lift my hands and say, here I am, Lord. I need a breakthrough. I need your presence to permeate my being. I need to leave here different than the way I came. So I'll lift my hands and I'll lift my voice. I won't allow me to be my greatest obstacle. I'll get me out of the way and say, Lord, it's all about you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. My. It feels good to be in the house of the Lord. It feels good to feel the presence of the Lord in this place. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So good to have Brother Mark Damron here in service with us this morning. His little brother Mason had a birthday this week, and so we had been in contact, Brother Mark and I, earlier, and so I had asked him numerous times to preach for us, and he said, I'm coming. I said, well, let's have you preach, and I said, we won't announce it because we don't want to ruin the surprise, and so on Wednesday night, I said, I got a surprise for you, but I can't tell you because it's a surprise, but he agreed to be here this morning and to preach for us, and so we just want him to come and take his liberty, no stranger to those who have been around here a while, even though he's got a home in Missouri now, working at Pentecostal Publishing House there at headquarters. We're grateful we have opportunity for him to come home and spend time with us, and we just want him to come and feel his liberty here in the pulpit. Why don't you put your hands together and make him welcome here this morning?
Why don't we give that to the Lord this morning? Let's go ahead and praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Lord, you are worthy. Let's go ahead and take another minute. Thank you, God, for you are worthy. God, you are the one that is deserving of the praise, God. We magnify your name, God, this morning, Lord. May you be lifted up in Jesus' name. Feels good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. There's a lot of things that pull at us throughout the week, a lot of things that take our time, but it always feels good to step into the house of the Lord, feel the presence of our mighty God, get that refreshing, get that renewing before we begin a new week. I want to thank Brother Wells for this opportunity. I've spent most of my years growing up right here in Sandwich, Illinois, and I count it a privilege to be able to come home and kind of share what God has put upon my heart this morning. And if that's okay with you, that's exactly what I want to do this morning. I want to share with you what God has put upon my heart. This morning, I'm going to go ahead and get into the Word. If you got your Bibles with you, we're going to be turning to John chapter 7. Going to be reading verses 37 through 39. It's John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. give a little bit of background from where we're going to be reading. This is in the book of John. Jesus here is at the Feast of Tabernacles. And if you're like me, you don't know what that is. The Feast of Tabernacles is an annual feast that's celebrated in Jerusalem. And the celebration takes place to thank God for the provision that he gave for the Israelites as they went from Egypt through the wilderness and into the Promised Land. Where we're going to pick up is verse 37 of John. This is Jesus speaking. And it says, "In the last day, in that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and he cried, saying, 'If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." If I had to give a title for my thought this morning, it'd simply be this: Are you thirsty? Before you're seated this morning, let's go before the Lord. Let's pray that the Lord would have his way in this place this morning. We thank you, God, for this time in your presence, Lord. It's been a sweet time, God, magnifying your name and exalting you. We ask, Lord, that you would have your way in this place this morning, Lord, that your word would accomplish its perfect will, that we'd be hearers of the word, Lord, and we'd be doers of the word as well, Lord. In Jesus' name, let your word have its perfect will in this place, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. It was at the University, 1965, the Florida University, that there was a thirst. Not just any thirst, but a thirst that could not be satisfied. Who was it that was just so thirsty in Florida in 1965? It was the Florida Gators football team, where head coach Ray Graves, he figured that he needed to find the reason, the answer for why his team was so thirsty. That's when Ray Graves, the head football coach, asked the scientists of the university to try to help figure out what could be the answer why his teammates were so thirsty. If you haven't guessed it by now, this is when and where Gatorade was invented. 1965, Florida Gators. Gatorade has been known for several decades now as the thirst quencher. If you're tired, you're worn out, grab a Gatorade. In fact, Landon was at our house last night. He himself, he was thirsty. He went and found a Gatorade, got a Gatorade. It's been known as the thirst quencher. If you're tired, you're sweaty from practice, you grab a Gatorade. You may think that maybe I've come here this morning to talk about Gatorade, but that's not my real purpose. I haven't come to talk about a physical thirst, but I've come to talk about a spiritual thirst. A thirst that is in inside each and every human being. A thirst that cannot be satisfied. It's a God-sized void that each and every heart has. Brother Al already spoke of it this morning. There's a hunger out there. There's a hunger that people have. This is what I want to share with you this morning. I believe God's given me this word that we have to be thirsty, that there's a world out there that's thirsty. Over my lifetime, I've had the privilege of being in many great and wonderful services, services that were just so powerful. They felt like the very presence of God was tangible, that you could reach out and touch it. Services where people are being healed, services that are just mind-blowing and astonishing. And you walk out of those services and you think, wow, that's amazing. I want more of that. I desire more of God. I desire his presence. Kind of like here this morning, how we felt the presence of God. It makes us hunger. It makes us thirst for more of who he is. One of those services for me was on a trip to Argentina, on a mission trip I went to when I was 16 years old. For me, the service was a life-changing event because it was a time that I was in God's presence. I was doing something for God, not because I was maybe dragged to church by my parents, but I was doing something that I wanted to do for the Lord on the other side of the world. I remember being, right before we went into one of these services, our chaperone, Luke Levine, told us, and it seemed kind of odd to me at the time, but he told us, if any of you feel led to give money to anybody you're praying for, come and see me first in the missionary. I didn't think anything of it, to tell you the truth. I went about in service with everyone else, all the other young people. And, of course, the service that I described, it was astonishing. The presence of God was so real, was so strong. And I remember standing there as a 16-year-old watching these people in Argentina dance and shout at the altar. They had their flag. They had such conviction and passion in their worship. They were very patriotic people. And I stood there as a 16-year-old, kind of in conviction, looking at people in a third world country who didn't have half the conveniences that I did, didn't have half the material goods maybe that I've been blessed with. But yet these people were out worshiping me. These people were out worshiping us young people. And it kind of convicted me. And I remember walking through the altar and I began to pray with people. And I prayed for one gentleman. I put my hand on his shoulder and I began to pray with him. And something strange happened to me, something that I had never experienced before. And I honestly wasn't even sure what to do about it. But as I began to pray for this gentleman, I started to think about money. It was kind of confusing to me. I'm like, God, I'm just trying to pray a blessing over this guy. Why am I thinking about money? So I took my hand off his shoulder. I'm like, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm being carnal. I'm thinking about money right now. I want to pray for this guy. So I lay my hand back on his shoulder and I go to pray for him. Sure enough, money. All I'm thinking about is money when I'm trying to pray for this guy. And not just money in general, but a specific amount of money. And I kind of brushed it off. I went about the rest of the service, and service had ended, and we had a hangout with the youth group, all those that were on the mission trip, and we were hanging out with the people in the church. And I walked up to a couple of guys that were older than me, because as a 16-year-old, I was one of the younger ones on the mission trip. I said, guys, I said, the strangest thing happened to me. I began to pray for a guy, and all I was thinking about was money. Without hesitation, these two looked at me and said, don't you remember what Luke said? I was like, oh, man, that's right. God wanted me to give this guy money. So I it convicted me. It told me right there, that's what I needed to do. So I went to go grab the money that I felt God was asking me to give to this individual. And as I went to go pull out that money, I thought, maybe I should just give half of what the Lord told me to give. Thought I had worked pretty hard that summer. You know, I did want to buy some nice souvenirs. I did a lot of hard work earning that money. Maybe I should just give half of what God told me to give. Lord checked me again and said, no, you need to give what I told you to give. So I pull out the money and I walk over to Brother Luke and I walk over to the missionary and I said, I felt impressed to give this guy over here money, and I kind of pointed out the guy. And I said, okay. So they walk over to him and they give him the money, and I kind of go about my way hanging out with everyone else. And just a couple minutes later, the guy walks up to me with the missionary. And the guy gives me a great big old hug and says, thank you. The missionary translates for me. He says, this guy that you gave money to, he recently got married. And that wasn't the shocking part. 2 weeks before I'd gotten to Argentina, he had lost his job. So here, this young man who's recently married, trying to provide for him and his wife, lost his job 2 weeks before I got there. Me, being from North America, never met this guy in my life. No clue who he is. I was astonished. I was dumbfounded. God, you did that through me. You allowed me to play a small part in your kingdom. You allowed me to be used by you. I say this because this is astonishing to me. It kind of blew my mind as a 16-year-old that God could do such a thing through me. And if God could use me in that capacity, it made me want to be used again by him. I was thirsty for more of God. I think for those of us who are in church, those who are serving God, I think it's kind of God's way of giving a deeper hunger and a thirst for us. He allows us to be used by him in some small capacity. He works through us, or he does something for us. And inside of us, it puts a deeper hunger in us. Think about it this morning. Has God ever done anything for you? Have you ever been at your wit's end and God stepped in at the last moment? Maybe you had a need in your life and you didn't know where that need was going to be fulfilled or how God was going to make a way, but yet he did. Maybe it's me and my humanity, but when God does something for me, it makes me hungry for him. It makes me thirsty for more of him and his righteousness. God is always wanting and pursuing us, but God's that perfect gentleman that's not going to force himself upon us. He's going to wait for us to come to him. Wait for us to cry out to him that we're hungry for more of him. We're thirsty for something more. Jesus stood there in Jerusalem that morning, shouting, if any man is thirsty, let him come unto me and drink. I believe God's word is doing the same here this morning. It's asking us the same question. If any man is hungry, let him come unto him and drink. Jesus most likely stood there in Jerusalem, speaking to both the Jewish people and the Gentiles. Jerusalem was a very robust city with many people, and it was likely there was people that were saved by the law, and there was people that knew nothing about God. I believe God's word does it today. It calls out to those who were living in covenant relationship with him and to those who were not. Are you thirsty? Come unto me and drink. If any man is thirsty, he says, let him come. Jesus stood there shouting to the people of Jerusalem, giving them the answer to the problem that they didn't even know that they had. It was a heart problem. It was a heart condition. Truth of the matter is, we as the church, we're not the only ones that are hungry. There's people out there in the world that are thirsty, that are hungry for more of him. People that are searching for something more. I'm sure many of you know people that are out there in life just going through the motions, just going through their daily routine, but they're longing for something more. We see it through the void in their life. Maybe they're attempting to fill this God-sized void with hobbies, with routines, maybe cars, relationships, their career. You fill in the blank, but I'm sure you see it. People have things that they're trying to fill this void, but yet they don't even know it. They're trying to use objects to fill that place that we know only God can fill. People are hungry for something real. They're hungry for something more. There's some people that are hungry, and they are thirsty, and they are searching. And they do know that it is God, but they just don't know the answer yet. They know that God has something in store for them, but they're not fully sure what. People like Cornelius, for instance. Acts chapter 10 tells us of Cornelius. Acts chapter 10 verse 1 says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all of his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he had looked on him, he was afraid. He said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and call for one, Simon, whose surname is Peter. I was doing my Bible reading. I think it's funny that was mentioned this morning. When we do our daily Bible reading, God once in a while will lay something on us. He'll put something in our spirit. And I believe that's what God did to me. I was just doing my daily Bible reading, and I was reading through the book of Acts. And Acts chapter 10 kind of struck me. I felt the Lord was wanting to tell me something, but I couldn't fully grasp it. So I sat on it for a few weeks, thinking and reflecting upon God's word, saying, Lord, I know there's something that you want to show me there. And I believe this is what the Lord wants me to share with you this morning. It's in Acts 10, as I just read, that we find that Cornelius was hungry for something more. If we drop down further from the verses that I read, we find that Cornelius sent for the man called Peter. Peter was out worshiping God. He was on a rooftop seeking God's face in a private place. He was reflecting on a vision that God had given him. A vision that God was trying to show him that you shouldn't call any man common. Shouldn't call any man unclean. Because he is no respecter of persons. He sees everyone the same. And Peter's up there reflecting on this vision. And he's thinking about what God had showed him. And God told him at the end of this vision, there's three guys outside waiting for you. You need to get up. You need to go with them. You need to follow them. Don't do it without questioning. Don't question, you know, why they're calling you. Just go with them. Acts chapter 10, verse 24 says, and this is when Peter entered into the city that Cornelius was at. It said, on the morrow, after they had entered into Caesarea, Cornelius waited for them, and he had called together his kinsmen and his friends. Verse 28 of Acts chapter 10, Peter says, he said unto them, ye know how that it is unlawful for a man that is a Jew to keep company, or to come unto another nation. But God had showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore I came unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. So I ask, therefore what intent have you sent for me? Cornelius' reply to him. Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting unto this hour, and at the ninth hour of the day I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. And he said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, thine alms are in remembrance in the sight of God. Peter, his response was. He opened his mouth and he said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted." Verse 44 of Acts 10. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because of the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And Peter answered, "Can any man forbid them water, that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, and then prayed that they would tarry certain days. This is what I believe that God has laid upon my heart in Acts chapter 10. I challenge you today when you go home, take 5-10 minutes out, read the book of Acts, read specifically chapter 10. I believe God has laid upon my heart personal evangelism. I believe God confirmed this word a couple of times already this week. I don't feel I'm the only one who is feeling it in the Spirit. Last week at our church, we had a missionary, and he spoke along the same lines, and so did my youth pastor Wednesday night, and I had this word written down before I ever heard them speak. So I believe God is trying to tell us something about personal evangelism. As I said, I was doing my Bible reading, and this is when I think the Lord had spoke to me. He kind of opened my eyes to see what he was trying to show me. I believe Acts chapter 10 goes hand in hand with John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. The Lord asked, "If any man is thirsty, let him come unto him, and he'll give him to drink." Acts chapter 10 shows us there are, in fact, people who are thirsty for truth. There are people that are out there that are hungry, and they're searching for something more. I think a lot of times we shy away from personal evangelism because honestly, if we're real with ourselves, as we're transparent, as Brother Tom said, I think we're afraid of rejection. I did cold calling for a while when I first moved down to St. Louis. I tell you, it wasn't fun. You know, you don't make any sales, someone tells you no. You kind of take it personal. It's kind of hard not to. You try to make a sale to somebody and they say no. It's like, man, well, what did I do wrong? It's really not you. It's probably just the product you're trying to sell. So when we attempt to witness to somebody, when we take a step of faith, if we actually do reach that point, because if we're honest, it takes a lot of courage when the Lord is prompting us to witness to somebody. If we can actually get up over that hurdle of ourself, and we actually step out and try to say something to them, and then they turn us down, it's almost like they're not just rejecting Jesus, but on a certain level, it feels like they're rejecting us. They're saying no to us. And I think that's why we shy away from personal evangelism. We don't want to be told no. But this is where I think the Lord steps in Acts 10. Because when we look at Acts chapter 10, we see that it wasn't Peter that went to Cornelius to be a witness. In fact, it's the exact opposite. Cornelius is the one who went to Peter. This is astonishing to me. It was eye-opening. Cornelius sought God so much that Acts chapter 10 verse 4 says, "Thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God." Someone who doesn't know the truth, someone that hasn't repented of their sins, hasn't been baptized in Jesus' name, hasn't even received the Holy Ghost, this guy prays so much that the Bible says his prayers have come up before a memorial before God. Someone that's hungry for God. It takes someone that's hungry to seek God that much for God to put it in his word, that his prayers came up as a memorial. It tells me that when we think this world is maybe hopeless and helpless, that they don't want to hear what we have to say, they don't want to hear about the truth, well, the truth of that is, that's just a lie from the enemy. Because there are people that are actually out there that are seeking God in their own time. They're making time out of their busy schedule to seek for something more because they're hungry. They have that void in their life and they know that God can fill it, but they're just not sure how. It was last Sunday, we had the missionaries to Luxembourg at our church. Name is Brother Favors and Sister Favors. Their first time appointed missionaries to the country of Luxembourg last year. We've never had a missionary to this country. And Brother Favors was telling us a little bit of a testimony he had while he was in the country. He went to Luxembourg and there was no work started there. There was no church. There was no one who was associated with the our organization, the UPCI. And he gave us a little bit of background about the country, that this country, Luxembourg, is the financial hub of the European Union. Big banks are in Luxembourg. There's over 150 nationalities that are in this tiny little country. And he said the average person speaks 5, 6, maybe even 7 languages. And he, being a good old boy from Texas, only spoke English. And he said he got to witnessing to people. God opened some doors. They had built a church, had a church established, had a few people coming. And most of the people that came to his church, as I said, spoke multiple languages. And he said he felt in his spirit that the Lord kind of prompted him, if I could have someone translate my messages from English to French, I feel like the people would be a lot more understanding of the points I'm trying to get across to them. Because one of the languages, the stable languages that the people spoke was French. And he told his wife this. He said, I feel that God wants us to translate our sermons from English into French. Well, the next day, his phone rang. Got a phone call. He answered it. And the guy said, is this Mr. Favors? He said, yes. Yes, it is. And he said, I need to meet with you. And he said, okay. Not knowing who this guy was, he said, I'll meet with you. So he goes and he meets with this guy. And this guy kind of gives him a little bit of background. He says, gives him his name. And he tells him, I work at one of the largest banks in the world. I'm not a nobody there, but I'm kind of high up in the company. And he says, before this, I was a treasurer of a church. I knew that God has something more in store than what I knew. He said, I've been praying every single day from 4 a.m. to 6 a.m. to God. He said, this morning, when I woke up, I walked into my kitchen. I looked over on my counter, and he said there was a card. It said, Favors, and it had your telephone number on it. He said, I don't know how it got there. I don't know who put it there, but I felt prompted to give you a call. So here we sit today. Brother Favors said, well, at this point, this guy had built up a little bit of credibility. He knew this guy just wasn't a crazy. He wasn't a wacko. This guy was an established man. He was a professional working man. And this guy told him to give him a call. So he gave him a call. They're sitting down, and he looks at Brother Favors, and he tells him, he said, Brother Favors, he said, this is going to sound crazy. He said, but I felt that God told me in my prayer time this morning that I needed to come to your church and I need to translate your preaching from English into French. Does that sound crazy? Brother Favors said, no, sir. No, sir, it does not. He looked at him and said, I want you to come to church. He went to church and he began translating his sermons from English into French. This reminds me that this isn't just the Bible written, you know, some 2,000 years ago. That there are people out there that are hungry now, that are searching for something more. If Cornelius, his prayers were a memorial before God. If Brother Favors ran into a man who prays from 4 a.m. to 6 a.m. because he's hungry for something more. There's people out there that are hungry, that are searching for something more. Think of it. I personally do not pray 2 hours a day. That, again, is kind of convicting. Someone who's searching for truth is willing to get up at 4 a.m. and pray for 2 hours straight. God, I know you're real. I know there's something more out there. Maybe I'm making tons of money. I got a high career. I'm working at the largest bank in the world, but I'm not satisfied. There's a void in my heart that I only know that you can fill. I think the Lord is trying to tell us something. But in order for us to reach out to these people, or for these people to be led to us, we have to be the Peter of Acts chapter 10. Where was Peter when Cornelius was sent to go find Peter? Peter was in a private place. He was seeking God's face. God had showed him a vision. It was Peter that was sensitive enough to God's voice when God said, there's men outside that are looking for you. Go down and follow them. It was Peter that had situational awareness that when he stepped into a room with Cornelius, filled with his kin and his friends, these people are here for a reason. He realized they were there to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. These people were hungry for something more. In order for that to happen, we have to be the Peter of the story. We have to be thirsty for God first so that God can use us to help show the truth to those who are thirsty and searching for something more. If you would stand with me as I close this morning. want to share with you something that one of my pastors said a few months ago. It helped change the way that I look at evangelism and personal evangelism. Oftentimes, our vision of evangelism and reaching out to the lost is kind of skewed. We like to think of it as the corporate level of reaching out instead of on an individual basis. Pastor said a lot of times we think that evangelism is outreach on Saturday. It's knocking doors. What is Pastor doing for us to lead us to do outreach? We think that the responsibility falls on Pastor and his family alone. My pastor opened up and shared with us that evangelism is a responsibility of the believer. Not just any believer, but every single believer. It falls on the shoulders of us to be a witness. And if it's truly our living in the last time, I don't think the Lord wants us to waste our time reaching those who are not going to hear the word, that the word that falls on deaf ears. I think the Lord's going to want to use us in a time to reach those who are hungry and already searching for him. If we're truly in the last time, I think the Lord's going to do a short work. He's going to start leading us to people and leading people to us that are searching for him. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7 through 9, it says this. So then is neither he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, but every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. So this morning, I think we ought to take a little bit of time out. There's people out there that are searching for God in their own time. There's people that are making time in the morning to seek God's face because they're hungry and they're thirsty for something more than what this world has given them. And they know that God's the answer. I think it's only right that we take a little time this morning to seek God's face. I open these altars this morning for us to seek God. And when we come to pray, let's make this our prayer. Lord, make me a Peter. Make me sensitive to your voice. Make me sensitive to the situations that I come in contact with. Because it's easy to go through our day. It's easy to bypass people. But if we could be sensitive like Peter was, maybe the Lord will put us in contact with people that are already searching for him. People that are already looking. Let this also be our prayer that, Lord, not only make me a Peter, but send me a Cornelius. Send me a guy that's hungry for you. Send me a woman. Send me a family. Send me a child. Somebody that wants something more. Someone that's already taken time to seek your face. Lord, send me a Cornelius. Lastly, Lord, send the increase. Lord, the Bible says that one waters and one planteth, but he giveth the increase. Lord knows where those people are. The Lord knows where they're at. Those that are praying in their spare time. Lord, send me to those people and send those people to me. If any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. Let's take time this morning, church, to seek God's face. Because there's people that are depending upon us. We first have to be thirsty so we can show those who are thirsty to God. Let's take time this morning. Lord, we come before you this morning, God. We want to be an effective witness, God, to a lost and hurting world, God. To those who are thirsty, God, those who are hungry and searching for something more, help me to be a Peter. Help me to be sensitive to your face. Help me to be sensitive to your presence, sensitive to your voice, Lord. I want to be used of you, God, in the capacity, Lord, that lost souls are saved. Lord, I want to be sensitive to your presence. I want to be sensitive, Lord, to those who are hungry and those who are searching for you. Lord, I ask that you would send me a Cornelius, Lord, on my day-to-day basis. Lord, don't let me pass by those who are hungry, those who are searching for something more. Lord, send me a Cornelius, God. Lord, as Brother Faber's testimony, God, you are sending people that are hungry to us. Lord, help us to be ready. Help us to be prepared to share the gospel. Help us to be willing, God, and confident and bold, Lord, to share the words that you're going to give us to speak. Lord, send the increase, Lord, to Sandwich, Illinois, God. Send the increase to the First Apostolic Church of Sandwich, Lord. Lord, we want to see growth, God, in your kingdom. Lord, we want to be ready for your return, God, and we want to take as many as we can with us, Lord. Lord, help us to be ready, God. Help us to be sensitive, Lord, to you, God. Lord, if we're not, God, convict us. Convict us in our heart, convict us in our mind and in our thoughts, God. I don't want to go up to heaven alone, but Lord, I want to take many people with me, Lord. There's people that are thirsty for you, Lord. Help me, Lord, this morning, God. I thirst for more of you. I thirst for your righteousness and your holiness. I want to be used of you, God, in a capacity that glorifies your name, that magnifies you, God. You're worthy. Hallelujah, Jesus. We magnify your name.
A place where you can cleanse us with your rain. Baptize us once again. We thirst for you.
We search for you.
We search for you. In a dry land, we're longing for your hand to guide us to
a place where you
can cleanse us with your rain. Baptize us once again. We thirst for you.
We search for you.
We search for you.
Where you in a dry and barren land. We're longing for your hand to guide us to a place where you can cleanse us with your rain, baptize us once again. Oh Lord, we are waiting. Would you let the river flow? Come flood our hearts again and quench our thirsty soul. Oh Lord, we are waiting. Would you let the river flow?
Hear us from heaven.
from heaven. Hear us from heaven.
Mark Dameron for such a wonderful word. As you were speaking from Acts 10 and the story of Cornelius, and you talked about the man in relation to the missionary, Brother Favors. Let the Lord speak to my heart. Ask me a question. I said, Nate, if you hadn't been born in this, your parents hadn't been in truth, and you hadn't cut your teeth on a church pew, if you had not been born into this, to what extent would you have gone to find me? Honestly answered in my heart, I don't know, Lord. I would like to think that I would have gone to the ends of the earth, that I would have done anything and everything, that no obstacle would be too great, that I would have done anything that I could to find you, to find this truth. I feel, Lord, I'd have gone to any extent. then as he often does, he showed my humanity. But then his reply was, so to then what extent will you go for someone else's hunger? I had the privilege of being raised in this, born in truth. I don't really know what it's like to live situations that some people live in. But you're right, Brother Damron, they're hungry. They're hungry. To what extent will I go to help meet their hunger? I would like to think that I would overcome rejection for myself to find truth. I would like to think that I would unashamedly pursue. Why would I not do the same for someone else who is hungry? All over this house, can we lift our hands? The community all around us, it would be a shame that just 20 yards away from the front door of the church, there would be someone hungry who died of spiritual starvation. When here in the house, there's manna enough for us all.
Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus. Maybe it's that person in the booth beside you at work. Maybe it's just someone you see in the break room on occasion. Lord, help us to see their hunger. Help us to feel the urging of the Spirit to reach out to them. Oh. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for challenging us, God, convicting us. Woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. Oh, let there be a hunger, let there be a thirst. Don't let it be selfish where it's just for me. God, let it be a thirst to see others come and give their life to you. Let it be a thirst and a hunger that would see others. Your mighty name, the precious name of Jesus. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord this morning. You may go in the precious name of Jesus Christ.